out to the stage. There we go. All right. Here we are in the Straits of Gibraltar or something. Yeah. All right, let's have one more hand for Richard and Kenny. Nice set. And let's have another hand for Woody, too. We've had an hour of great music. And the good times will continue to roll. So once again, it's going to be Annabelle, Brenda and Rick, Cindy. You guys sound great. Randall, Paul, and then Mary Crow will finish us off.
Actually, well, it can't be down any further than that. I can be down a little bit.
So Annabelle, I think, has gotten a little bit of a special number for us tonight. So, and she's about to tell us all about it. So let's hear it for Annabelle Gritz.
Thank you. Where'd everybody go? This isn't going to be fun. There's just nothing right here except empty chairs. Well,
Annabelle,
I'm glad you're here. Okay, this is, I am doing a story called Thanksgiving. It is from Godey's Lady's book in 1863. I found this because I had a gig over the weekend that I needed it for, and I have fallen totally in love with this, and I think you will love it, I hope. It is by someone called S.G.B., I think Sarah George Bagley, but I'm not sure. Tall, stiffly, straight, pale, clear-eyed, well-featured, well-dressed, and well-to-do in the world, Mrs. Murray was an admirable picture of a certain type of New England woman. She affected no airs of youth. Her white lace handkerchief was folded over her bosom. Her muslin cape, hello? Her muslin cap white laced. Her muslin cap was free from taint or bow or furbelow. No attempt was made to disguise or root out the silver lines which striped her bands of brown. Just now, Miss Murray was in mourning. The village dressmaker had passed more than a week at Oak Cottage, and on her departure, 3 new bombazines, 3 alpacas, and 3 black calicos were left behind as trophies of her skill. Not that Mrs. Murray had so profusely stored her own wardrobe. She had bought and had made suitable dresses for the girls, Miss Molly and Miss Minty, the daughters of the house. Tall, thin Miss Minty and short, fat Miss Molly would never see their 30th birthday again, but their mother labored under a continual sense of their youth and inexperience and cared as truly now for their wardrobe as when they had been wee toddling things. It was well that the girls had no share in choosing their mourning. Their eyes were so swollen with weeping that they would not have properly scrutinized the fabric and might have been alarmingly taken in. The young brother who had been their joy had fallen on a distant battlefield and found a lonely grave far from the house of his childhood. Mrs. Murray had shed no tears. She had rejoiced to see her favorite child offering himself for the service of his country, and when she received the tidings of his death, she but grew more pale and rigid and uttered not a murmur. A few weeks after this bereavement, Miss Minty ventured to say, I suppose we won't have any Thanksgiving this year, Mama. No Thanksgiving, child. Have we not enough to be thankful for? What do you mean? Was the astonished reply. Pumpkin, cranberry tarts, apple, grape, mince, lemon, custard and chicken pie I ordered Mehitable to get ready for, and we will go into the kitchen and make them tomorrow, girls. It seemed thankfulness and pie seemed indissolubly connected in Mrs. Murray's mind. Miss Minty gave a little sob, and Miss Molly disappeared through an open door. A trio of fat chickens found a common grave in a well-covered chicken pie. Minced meat was chopped and seasoned and tasted and chopped and seasoned and tasted till all the various blissful flavors were merged in one perfect resultant crowning flavor which pronounced the work complete. of the pumpkin pies, we hardly dare to trust ourselves to speak. Yet on them the good housewife expended her special care. The energetic mother always made a point of having Miss Minty and Miss Molly with her on these days of preparation, ostensibly to help her, but in reality they were useless retainers. Mehitable, one of those doubtful treasures, an old family servant, preferred to pare and chop, stone and grate herself. And Mehitable generally carried out her own views, even in the face of Mrs. Murray. No voice, no will, no opinion, no mission, no sphere had yet been thought necessary for the girls. They were unrebellious subjects under the most despotic yet kindly will. On Thanksgiving Day, Mehitable had not been at church, not she. She had been thankful in the midst of the blending odors of turkey boiled and roasted, crisping pig of the Elia pattern, and chickens broiling of a tender brown, an atmosphere more suited to her taste than sitting for two mortal hours penned up in a meeting house. Such was her success with the preparations that Miss Minty and Miss Molly had barely time to substitute the alpaca for the bombazine when dinner was announced. Mrs. Murray's two married sons had been invited, as usual, to dine with their mother, and as usual, their wives were understood to be included in the invitation. There was stout Tom Murray with his pretty, silly little wife. There was grave Robert Murray with his merry, talkative partner. All were subdued to uncommon taciturnity by this sad family meeting. A stiff sort of solemnity was pitched upon the common consent as the proper demeanor for this occasion. But Mrs. Murray took her place at the head of the table. Robert, the oldest, assumed the foot, while the two wives were ranged opposite their sisters-in-law. Vis-a-vis to Thomas Murray was a vacant chair, placed there by Mehitable's orders, perhaps to make all balance, or possibly as a silent remembrancer of him who had once been the life of these family gatherings. Mrs. Murray folded her hand to ask the blessing. She had borne up valiantly thus far. She had made pies and been thankful in spite of a sore and wounded heart. Now her lips quivered and her voice trembled. She could not trust herself for the long grace generally deemed fit for such festal days. She could only substitute, "God help us and make us thankful." Were those her own hands covering her two eyes? No, those hands were withdrawn, and two strong arms were round her neck, and a brown cheek was pressed close to hers. "Mother, dear mother, did you really believe I was dead? And you tried to bear up bravely, but I heard your voice tremble. I did not know you loved me so." "Love you? I love you like my own soul. God be praised, you are safe." Nobody blamed the papers for reporting one soldier as dead who had only been taken prisoner. The happy seldom find fault. It is the sour and discontented who always have a bone to pick with somebody and dog-like growl over it. Mehitable, long after this Thanksgiving Day, was wont to say, "Miss Murray was right. We ought to be thankful and have our pies when the days come round. Suppose the lieutenant should have come home and found no right sort of dinner ready for him. That would have been a pretty how do you do. Over the river and through the wood to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the wood, oh, how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Over the river and through the wood and straight through the barnyard gate, we seem to go extremely slow. It is so hard to wait. Over the river and through the wood. Now grandmother's half by spy. Hurrah for the fun. Is the pudding done? Hurrah for the pumpkin pie. Everyone over the river and through the wood to grandfather's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the wood, oh, how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Woo! Happy Thanksgiving to you, Annabelle. Thank you very, very much.